Morning, everyone. I'm reading from the church Bible this morning. Should be on page 1074, and we're at John chapter 8, and we're looking from verses 31 to 47. The children of Abraham. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence. And you do what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you are Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You're doing the things your own father does. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I've not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is you do not belong to God. I feel somewhat of a fraud this morning. I can honestly say that I have never been physically imprisoned, incarcerated, enslaved. I've experienced 53 years of relative physical freedom, apart from a few occasions when I was a teenager and I was grounded. I've never been enclosed or incarcerated. Life has been one of relative freedom, unfettered by chains. I was deeply moved by a series I watched a few weeks ago, which is called When They See Us. This program tells the story of five young black men in New York in 1989. Kevin Richardson, Antron McRae, Raymond Santana, Yusuf Salam, and Corey Wise. These men were aged between 14 and 17, and were jointly tried and imprisoned for the rape of a jogger in Central Park. They protested their innocence. There was no DNA evidence to link them to the rape, and yet they were all found guilty. 4 out of 5 of these young men were sent to youth detention prisons. However, the eldest, Corey Wise, was sent to an adult prison from the outset. The other 4 were released earlier than Corey. And it was a number of years later, whilst in prison, Corey had a chance meeting with another prisoner, Matthias Reyes. Matthias had a weight of guilt because he'd actually committed the crime. And he decided to confess to the authorities. 12 years later, Corey was freed. To physically be in that situation like Corey, to experience the closed walls, the locked door of the cell, being ordered when to exercise, when to eat, when to sleep, Corey had a personal understanding of physically what it feels like to be imprisoned, to be restrained, to not be living under his own rules of freedom. So how do we, if we've never been in a situation like Corey, like Nelson Mandela, like the city of Warsaw in the Second World War, who were under occupation, how do we grasp the meaning of being slaves? It's easy for many of us to be somewhat blasé about freedom and what freedom truly is. Are we this morning any different to the Jews that are mentioned at the outset of the passage? It tells us, right at the very start, that they had believed. You would think Jesus was talking to a ready audience to take on board everything he said. But they hadn't really grasped the full extent of belief, or in fact, the difference from believing to actually holding on to that truth. And you know, the one word that I think absolutely got to them was when Jesus said to them that then they would be free, the truth would set them free. This was what riled them. This is what angered them. How dare Jesus tell them that they were not free? They were a proud race. Who would demean them by saying they were not free? The ironic thing about it is they had been under the rule of a number of different countries over their history. They were actually under the rule of the Romans at this point in time. So to say they were truly free was a little disingenuous. Yet their pride would always remind them that when they were slaves, this was at the will of God, so they were essentially still free in their view. Harriet Tubman was an American abolitionist and a political activist. She was born into slavery. She escaped many times, and she made missions to rescue enslaved people, family and friends. She used a network of anti-slavery activists and safe houses known as the Underground Railroad. She was born in 1822 and died in 1913 at the age of 90. For someone who had experienced slavery and strived for freedom for those who were enslaved, she was a devout Christian. I'm struck by a quote she made about her efforts to free slaves. She said, "I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew that they were slaves." There would be many who'd been born into slavery and who had known no other life. This had become their normality to the point that they didn't regard it as slavery. This was their lot. It was the sum of their being and purpose, and they couldn't see beyond this. One of my favourite films is Shawshank Redemption. And nothing is more moving in that film than the story of the character Brooks Hatlen. Brooks Hatlen is a prisoner who had been incarcerated for most of his life in this story. And he finally gets parole. He finally gets to leave Shawshank. And what is so sad is how he struggles to come to terms with the fact that he's actually free, that he's truly free, because he has for so many years become used to being in that prison. He just can't cope once he leaves. I say this quietly this morning, and forgive me, Paul, I'm not sure whether this is essentially the right thing to do whilst preaching on this passage. But I have a certain sympathy for the Jews in this Bible reading. They stubbornly refused to listen to reason and couldn't for the life of them see that they were slaves, or indeed in need of freedom. They came with the baggage of their fathers, their forefathers. They held to the culture and understanding of their God with a real pride. You can imagine this sort of puffed up pride that they had when they were able to say with confidence to Jesus that they were children of Abraham. Their lineage went back to the father of nations, that man with incredible faith, who when tested, honored God. Great lineage indeed. But had they fully lived their lives as Abraham did? And didn't they realize that even before Abraham, God was I am? Do you know, I interview quite regularly in my job, and I can honestly say that nobody, when they've come for an interview and I've asked them to sort of tell me a little bit about themselves and why they are ready, you know, and they're the right person for the job, I don't think anyone's ever said to me, well, you know what? My dad was a very good planner. And my dad did amazing things and he sort of built out this town. Nobody says that. That would plainly be ridiculous to rely on the achievements of your parents or your parents' parents. That would be ridiculous. And yet, the Jewish people clearly thought that their ancestry with Abraham was enough to guarantee freedom and privilege moving forward. You know, one of the biggest traps we can fall into is to convince ourselves that we have it all sewn up. The feeling our Christian lives are comfortably sorted. That feeling that were we to drive in for a Christian MOT, we would be passed and allowed to drive off with no worries. I get the feeling the Jews in the story felt like this. A new guy in town is saying exciting things and has some charisma. And they want to buy into this until he starts to ask those questions which really burn at the heart of their being. And it's easy for all of us to be like that. How many of us have sat in a service listening to the preacher and essentially been the shiny, bald-headed Christians? The message is transmitted out from the preacher. And as it makes its way to us, we look around and we think to ourselves how this message is obviously meant for somebody else in the congregation today. And we let that rebound off and go to someone else. You know, so often when Paul might be preaching or somebody else might be doing an all-age service at the front, I'll suddenly get a dig in the ribs from Sandy as if to say, are you listening to this? Because this is relevant for you. Our journey in faith is not about deflecting the truth away from us. It's about living it in our lives. Living by the truth when it's uplifting, when it's inspiring, when the truth shows compassion and forgiveness, the forgiveness that brings us to tears in submission. But also living by the truth is living when it hurts, when we know we've walked away, when we've given into temptation, when we've gone the easier and more destructive direction. It's living by that truth and owning up before our Father God that we have slipped up and need his forgiveness, that we see the restoring and refreshing of his Holy Spirit. And that's hard. Hard to admit to that. Hard to come to that place before God and say, do you know what? I've done it wrong. The hardest part here was the Jews didn't even appreciate that they were slaves to sin. Quite the opposite. They were apparently reconciled purely by their lineage. They weren't slaves in their mind. Yet this passage shows us how they exhibited those pitfalls of pride, anger, selfishness, and how often have we fallen into those pitfalls. And you know, that behavior or our actions can be something that we can be blissfully unaware and continue to exhibit certain characteristics or certain things that we do wrong. I didn't realise till this week that I've been doing something which is wrong and upsets someone in our family. And I feel I have to share this with you this morning. I didn't realise that when I get up in the morning, before anybody else gets up, and I go down and I get myself ready for work, I bring my shoes into the lounge while I'm getting the breakfast ready. So what I do is I bring my shoes in ready to put them on in a minute and just drop them in the lounge. Now that's, I assumed was fine. But apparently that makes a noise and wakes somebody up. Sometimes we can be clearly not aware that what we are doing is upsetting someone else. That what we're doing is actually annoying someone else. And that might be a trivial thing I've shared with you there, but so often we can merrily be going and doing something and not realising that that might be hurtful to someone. It might be something we say. We may jest to our friends, our work colleagues, our family about things. And over time, it becomes more than just jesting. It becomes the running joke, the easy hit for a hurtful comment. We may not appreciate how each time these comments continue to hurt and drag that person down. We may not be aware, but it's how we deal with that when someone makes us aware of that. Sometimes we can be so blind as to not see our sin or understand the extent of our sin and the impact it has on others. Sometimes we can wrestle with various things that are not good in our lives. I personally wrestle with forgiveness of others at times when I've been deeply hurt. There have been times where people have desperately hurt me and dragged me down in my life. I've had to pray and wrestle with that bitterness that I've held on to. It's not healthy. It's not scriptural. But you know, there have been times when I've just literally parked it, as opposed to asking God's forgiveness and to help me to remove my bitterness towards others. Nelson Mandela, when he was released from prison, he made a very profound comment. He said, "As I walked out of the door towards the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison." Let's be clear this morning. God doesn't want you to wrestle anymore with that bitterness. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You will be set free. Perhaps this morning, some of us may be like the Jewish people in the story. We've been in denial, trotting out the regular excuses as an opportunity to avoid the issue. Has it been easy to make arguments to justify the position we're in and the sin that's held us back? Have we parked the sin and hoped it would go away? I remember being, when I was 19 years old, I was working in my first full-time job, and I finally had some money in my pocket, and I decided to sign up for a store card, one of these ones where you can just flash your card when you go into the store and buy whatever you want to, because it's on a card and it's not real money, is it? Being young, not used to having easy access to buy things I wanted, it became so easy to just use this card. As time went on, I became increasingly aware that the bill was rising and I didn't have the funds to pay it back. So I didn't open the bills that arrived. I parked it. I didn't confess to my parents because I was embarrassed. I felt I'd let them down. So what better than to put up the barriers and hope somehow it would all magically go away? It's never easy to let the barrier down, to let God in, because our human nature is to think that somehow it's safer to be in control of our lives than let God have control. You know, I struggled with issues at work a few years ago. Really struggled. I battled on. It's just not the thing for a middle-aged British male to accept that things were not right. It's not the done thing. Stiff upper lip and all that. Each day, I'd put the false face on. for each of my team. I'd exude confidence and do my job of trying to boost morale in my team when inside I was falling apart. And I was reminded of the words of Robin Williams. The saddest people always try their hardest to make people happy because they know what it's like to feel worthless. God does not want us to carry that weight. He doesn't want us to feel absolutely worthless because he treasures us more than gold. We are of infinite worth to him. He hates seeing us in chains. There is nothing more devastating than to be enslaved, to not be truly free. The feeling that the shackles are truly holding us back in our lives can be stifling. But this passage tells us that the truth will set us free. And there is no limit to God's forgiveness. Jesus was being brutally honest to the Jews in the passage because he wanted to break the cycle of sin. He so wanted to break it down, the error of pride, this error of supposed superiority and privilege that these people were exhibiting. And this was a generational sin which had been handed down through generations. Systemic sin, but not outside of God's power or his remit to break it down if they were willing to live to his truth. And I suppose my message is a simple message this morning. I want to encourage us all. We may feel we're in that position where we're just not worthy of God's love. We may feel that the sin and the enslavement is too deep, too generational. It goes back 10 years. It goes back 20 years. It goes back 50 years. That thing that we can't let go of. God says, it's never too late. We may be so programmed as to think, what's the issue? God wants to break down the barriers. He doesn't want us just to go away with those words this morning, the truth he will set you free, and those words only. He wants us to stand before him, seeking his forgiveness, opening our lives afresh to him, for him to come in power and to transform our lives through his Holy Spirit. There is no problem too great. No sin too entrenched. No barrier too high. He wants to set us free. I'd like us to listen to a song and ask Mavis to play a song. This speaks to me a lot about God wanting to rescue us.
You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true.
that, Mavis. God wants to rescue. God's in the business of wanting to break down those barriers. If that's spoken to you this morning, if you really feel God saying, this is the time, this is the day, this is the opportunity this morning, I'd like you to take that opportunity. I'm going to say a prayer. If you want someone to pray for you this morning, please take that opportunity. If you want to come and sit up at the front, someone will come alongside you and we'll pray with you. God is in the freedom business. It's only through him we can be truly free. If there is that barrier this morning, let's break those barriers down this morning. Let God break those barriers down so that we'll be able to say that we are truly free in God. As I say this prayer, if you feel moved by God's Spirit to come to the front, please do so and someone will come alongside you. Lord, I want to thank you for your word this morning. Your word that reminds us that in your truth we will truly be set free. And Lord, as we come before you this morning, we ask that those barriers be broken down. Those things which have held us back, those areas of our life where we have been shackled in chains for far too long. If we have not been able to let bitterness go and anger, if we are just shackled in sin that we can't see the way out, this morning, Lord, we would come to you and ask for your forgiveness and your Holy Spirit to fill us afresh. We pray, Lord, that we would go forward comforted in the knowledge and excited that we are truly free because our rescuer has come, that we might know life in all its fullness, not a half life, not a bare existence, but life in all its fullness. Through your Holy Spirit, we pray this, Lord. Amen.